any apologies.
Yeah. The only apology I've received
is from Master Jikobo. He's off sick. He's in Mpolokwa.
Master Jikobo. We only have one item, and that's.
Yeah.
You will. You will guide me how you want us to go through the document, whether we do go through it page by page. You may suggest how, and we'll hear what everybody says. How do we go through it? Or you just want to look at the observations and recommendations and then.
Yeah.
Is that agreed? Okay. For the first one, that is, if there are any corrections, I'll do that. We'll go through it page by page then. Is there any comment on page one? Page two? Page three? Page 4. Thanks. Page 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Honorable members, on page 5, the table that you see there, it has been refined through the assistance of the researcher, because the one that we had did not was not in line with the National Treasury one. So we use the National Treasury one that shows the nominal change and the percentage change of the department budget for the three financial years. So this one is more explanatory in terms of what, how the department budget has changed. The one that we have put there in terms of percentages and for the different, units of the department.
It is on legal and governance.
For this year.
I'll have another look at the figures there, because what happens is they just give us the table and we don't tamper with it, and then we just punch in the numbers, and then the percentage on the side, they just come up on their own. So I'll have to go and look at the table again.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just put a question mark.
No question mark is next month as well.
make sure 6.6 was correct and it is. Sorry, I just wanted to check figures.
Don't worry, it's very short.
Oh, I have a camera. No, it's
space.
Oh.
I'm not covered.
I understand that it can form part of the recommendations. What I will say, I know it can form part of the recommendations because it was never part of the department strategy plan and budget. But I would really urge the committee to consider what we were told by the DG of public enterprises, that they're basically bulldogs with bolsters. I don't know where what to do with it, but I think if really we want that those guys to deliver on their mandate, they have to have some tips, particularly as it relates to your big SOEs, Transnet, Eskom. I mean, he painted a very sorry state that they're basically useless.
I was hoping the member was going to draw a picture of a bulldog. and Chair, may I just on the, and I'll attempt to do this thing. I'm sorry if I'm going to take you back to page 5. I want to challenge my economic that I was taught on this block here, and trust that I will be correct, notwithstanding the fact that Eric wants to go and double check. The answer lies on that block. The answer lies in if we look at the headings, which is your nominal rand change, your real rand change, and nominal percentage of the change and the real change. So what Treasury does here, you've got a minus and plus some of these things here, and then see how they derive. The last block really speaks to actual, in reality, that's the change. The second block, second last block, speaks to, for lack of a better word, of nominal, almost like minimal change. So I think that's what they are trying to point out to us here. What we have got to make sure is that the figures are correct in the way that they say. And I don't think we should be put off by 740 and 693. It's the methodology that they've used in explaining to us the actual the changes, but the real changes, which is sort of the last block that we must concentrate on, not the one before that. I'm taking that chance on the basis of double checking a block. I don't have my laptop here to look at the thing. If somebody can find us the actual budget vote quickly here now, then we can have a look at it, because there will be an explanation from the Minister of Finance on that block. So I think those are the options open to us to absolutely verify. We don't have to follow what I'm saying. I wanted to make a suggestion that we can't, if we agree to adopt the report after we've done the recommendations, then we should empower probably yourselves to give final sanction on this. If you feel you want to consult all of us again, it is really within you. But we can't let the thing in the balance if we want to adopt that one. So that's how I want to respond to that one on the recommendation. Saying the one is average and the one is if you take inflation out, and then you will get to that last one.
Thanks. I would like a further explanation from Eric, because while I understand what Honourable September is trying to say, I do find those numbers slightly irregular, even if you are dealing with a 740% change. It would be almost understandable in terms of economics and the very vague memory I have of my economics, let me tell you, Honourable September, is less than yours. A nominal change could be a 740% nominal change, but then to have the real-time change it being 693%. Okay, well, be that as it may, Chair, I'd like to also just talk about something under the recommendations.
I think what Eric should address as the headings of that table is fine. The second row on the budget talks to 2011-12 to 2014-15. But the changes, nominal and real, is a different period. 2011-12 to 2012-13 is not the same period. So Eric has to reconfigure this model. We don't have this table. The headings is fine, but the figures within doesn't talk to one another. If you just look at the actual budget and you work out your nominal and real, it doesn't add up. And I suggest that he corrects the contents of the table and just send it for us all just to consider. There's nothing obscure about it. It seems to me the contents just doesn't speak to each other, the figures, and that we accept it as is, but with a provision that he sends it to you as chairperson or circulates it to us, that we just update it on what is the correct table, and then we leave them at it.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I specifically refer to what my colleague and friend said.
Just a correction there, 7.2.
We must delete. Yeah, I agree.
Chair, as I was saying, my friend and colleague mentioned the fact that the DG feels pretty powerless. And I can't help but think that our committee has an obligation to assist the DG, because what happens is the DG comes and reports back to us and gets an incredibly hard time from us for issues that we raise, but she actually has, she's powerless to affect anything that we've asked her to do. Because I was looking at Honourable Borman. There we go. Absolutely. So I can't help thinking that we do have an obligation in some way in our recommendations to recommend that somewhere, somehow, things are changed to assist the DG. I don't know how. I haven't gone that far to think. But I do think we have an obligation to assist where we can.
I think it's a valid point, but there's separate to this recommendation, there's a second process going on, and that's a BRRR report. So I think that issue can be addressed when we address when we consider the BRRR report and formulate and recommend how do we follow up on the Gordons Bay workshop, what we agreed upon with the DG, and I think that will be the platform to address the issue.
Would it not be advisable, it might be the wrong thing to do, I don't know, but just to capture it under our observation, because then you can pick it up for actually taking it within the beautiful arm. It's something that we did observe in our, in our interaction with them.
Can I just ask for clarity on 7.2, whether it will not be better to formulate that one as to consider expanding the human resource capacity of the department with additional employees? There may be other methods to have that additional human resources than physically employing people. Because if I remember correctly, Treasury has turned down this additional budget of the 45. So we say to him, no, it's not acceptable, do it again. So that may put the DG in a very difficult situation. But we want the additional human resources to be employed, not necessarily in directly employed people. I'm asking whether we shouldn't consider to say with additional human resource capacity, or he may find another method to employ, not necessarily employees, but to employ whatever on a temporary basis to get out of this crisis we all find ourselves in.
I didn't catch this debate, so I don't want to get into that. But if it is around the concern that the committee is raising in seeing the decline of the department's budget, then I would suggest that, you know, whatever we recommend is a recommendation to the department. And that recommendation to the department, we can recommend to the department that they engage the committee further on the and I'm not saying it verbatim, they can engage us further on whether they will be able or not to implement the envisaged program, and in particular the infrastructure program. I think it's some wording that is required to marry the concern that we're raising, which is the first or second point, to the recommendation that one to make. We have got to indicate now in this one that we want to signal something for the BRRR. So there's got to be consistency from the one to the other one. We can't just pop it up at the end of the year. That then gives us the ability between now and August, September, October, when we deal with... We've got to say something in the recommendation about that. But it must not be tied to we want to empower the... We must come to our own our own conclusions as we have debated it. Even at the workshop when we discussed this, we must be convinced ourselves. We can't be driven by the DG saying, look, he doesn't have enough money. So what if he doesn't have enough money? We must come to our own conclusion that indeed the program that must be implemented, there must be sufficient budget for it. And through our own analysis and our own research and whatever else, if we come to that conclusion that it's not so, then we are vindicated to say in the word BRRR that we think that the department needs to get this, that, and the other, independently ourselves. Not the department can provide us with information, of course. So that's how we capture that share. That's essentially what I want to say. But the second thing that I wanted to say, again, in our observation, if we look at 3.3, I want to recommend that the department says that their focus will be on consolidating the shareholder management model. It's something that we've spoken about at length. And our recommendation must be that the department provide us with a time frame of the implementation of the shareholder management model. You know, this thing has just been going on and on and on. And I think the committee is eager to find out if it's happening tomorrow, next week, or whenever, so that they can come back to us on, you know, there's a date that they have. For me, the shareholder management model is key because it speaks to how they're going to deal with the remuneration, how they're going to deal with the governance, and all of those things. So I don't want us to leave it open-ended. And then I, on the second and then the third point also, that we marry it with the point that Honorable Kurunov said earlier on, shifting the emphasis to that it's driving investment growth and employment. Our recommendation here, that point must be, 7.2 must be beefed up to include. We consider expanding the human resources capacity, and somewhere at the end we must talk about the fact so that the implementation of the investment drive, growth and employment can be realized, something like that. We don't just want human resources, we want it for a particular purpose. And then overseeing the strategic, financial and operational turnaround of challenge SOE. No, we don't think that we want to talk about challenge ones only. We want to see that the strategic and financial and operational turnaround of all the SOCs, whether they are being wound down or whether they are, you know, they are functional. And so that challenged word must be taken out there and say, overseeing the strategic, financial, operational turnaround of SOC. Everything that I've said is on 3.3. So it's not that I'm going back, I'm taking it to recommendations. Yes, that might be the case, but I'm saying our recommendation is not to look at challenges one, we want to look at everyone.
Yeah, Chairperson, I would like us to give more teeth, excuse the pun, to the concern raised by, the legitimate concern raised by Honorable Nana about the fact that the DG feels that he's toothless. There seem to be two ways of doing it, so again, it's not lost. It's a very, very important point. That after the tabling of the PSC report, there will have to be an act. We'll have to come up with a bill to Parliament that will particularly empower the DG to be able to do his work, or if he added the whole work. Because you see, the background to this is that now the whole portfolio of public enterprises was historically supposed to be just a little desk for privatization. So many things have happened since then. After the tabling of the PSC report, my anticipation, the department must consider a white paper on the powers and duties of the DG as well as the minister, because it's not only the DG that's in power, it's also the minister himself. Because as I said, the gist of this whole thing is that it's a task which is supposed to do privatization, and then it's clothing the ministry and the department every single day. But they've been told politically, well, stop. Come here for the decision now. Now that decision is going to be taken forward. The decision is that stop privatization. So that moratorium will only end with the tabling of the PRC report. And then logically, there'll have to be a bill which is considered by us to implement the decisions of the PRC. It's only the, it's not only the DG that is feeling impuissant. It's only the minister himself. The minister as well, yeah. It starts right at the top there. He's a minister in charge to supervise the now 8 SOCs. But then he just say, look, do the best you can under the circumstances. And what the president has done, a bold thing, say, well, executively, PRC, sort this thing out. There are too many of these things here, and then rationalize them, and then come back to me. So now I can then say, this is the way to go. Then the politicians, my parliament, must actually come up with a bill to give effect to the recommendations of the PRC.
Just to you, honorable member, and see if this doesn't cover what the concern that is raised is. And it's on 6.8. It says here the committee raised concern about the absence of legislation that empowers the department to act against non-compliance by SOCs and enforce priorities of government. Isn't that in line with what you're saying?
But hopes that we must see. We can't just raise concern because you know. It's not just concern. We understand that there's been a halt on privatization, number one. Number two, things can't just stop. The work must happen. And what these are things of the government. Now, the president is instituted this PRC, and when it finishes, we're going to come back to him, and then it's going to begin to the parliament, to ask the referral committee. And perhaps we might be among several referral committees that are going to handle this thing. But there must be a bill that ultimately must come to Parliament. That's where the legislative process is going to come. So we must say, we hope that the PRC will conclude this report in a non-distance. So we'll have to wrap it up nicely that way. So why not just say we are concerned? So that it's obvious. But what I'm concerned about, what they're going to do is say, we're hoping that the
and you want us to put our hopes in this?
Well, not hope, but I meant there must be. You see, we can't just see our consent.
Maybe we should pray.
Yeah.
Like the colonel says, it's better that we pray.
You see, we are parliamentarians, and we must say that now we are aware of the PRC process. We must say, not pray, hope, but
pray.
This concern will be addressed by the conclusion of the PRC process. Then we remove the what?
It seems Honorable September wants to assist.
Yes.
I'm sure that we can find conclusion on this point, because I mean the member's concern is a very long term one, moving forward on that thing, not necessarily all of which could be packaged into this one. I mean, if we really want to call for legislation, then we must say that the Public Finance Management Act must be amended, because when the DG complains, then he must complain about the Public Finance Management Act. There's no other legislation that we can call for. So I think that's where the member's concern needs to be focused on. There is legislation. There's legislation that speaks to the Public Finance Management Act, there's the Treasury regulations, there's all of that. And that's the guidance that they work in. When the DG says that he doesn't have power, it means he doesn't shout loud enough there to say within those structures that they are about how much. But look, the truth is, it's not the PG, it's the political power, it's the minister that we have to focus on if we want to. But our power lies within the money act, and that's what we not to give the power more to the DG, because it is there already in the public finance management.
The PFMA addresses everything, but it's not the panacea. What you need is a tailor-made legislation to manage SOCs. You see, the PFA is for everything, but not as well for the PUCs. In other words, it's like a big Bible or a big encyclopedia, it's a big dictionary, but you need something customized legislation for state-owned companies. Now, I'm saying that what it should be, let's take the what you've just read now, and concern, etc. And add just 2-3 words and say that now it is expected that that this concern will be addressed by legislation after the conclusion of the PFC.
Okay.
So,
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
No, the bells are just stimulated. I move that they have a call here, doctor. With all these additions.
The DA, myself, and my colleague Eric Marais must still consult with my party, so please accept my and the DA's abstention from approving the report. Thank you.
Hope as well, sir. That's why I was saying I will still find another forum to.
Honourable members, I'm not sure what regards if this, the report does it mean that we cannot adopt it? Because if we agree with the content, it will be 86 as a committee report, but it will be debated in the House. So you'll be able to raise some different views, or that differs probably with the report whatever in the House. But it will stay, it will be the report of the committee, because we have at least debated it in the committee report. Are we?
No, I don't think we should reject the report. I think we should be positive and accept the report. I mean, we've all been together. We know the issues. I mean, it's not a question. It's not going to buy the secretary to Petrol Company said. We have an opportunity to actually define. It's not an anomaly. Better is all other petrol committees, all other reports. But we should.
So, really, it's not a, my part, it's not an objection to the report. It's only to say, we've been part of the processes. There is no way I can deny that. But you know, how parties work. You things like these, you know, you need to get a note from the party, take them through, and you know.
I've already moved and then
the
secretary.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
would like to miss to
next week.
Next week,
my
dear. Eric, I speak to
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Natasha, I'm speaking. You must,
yeah.
Bring the roof down.
You don't speak.
I'll move my bed.
I don't think we have to worry about any of that.
Thank you.